Welcome and bienvenue to episode number 611 of the Punk News Podcast. I'm your host this week, M. Moore, Punk News News Editor, so much more, all of this kind of stuff. And joining me is, after a long absence, Punk News Editor extraordinaire, Sam Barrett! Woo!
Yeah, back and alive!
Woo! And Hallie Bullitt is also here! Woo!
Yeah!
I am here.
And as you'll notice, dear listener, our fearless leader of the ship, John Gentile, is not here this week. The Blink-182 reunion was simply too much for him. He was just way too excited. You wouldn't believe it. All he was talking in Blink-182 lyrics. It became this whole thing. And he set out on a quest to follow Blink-182 around the entire world. Now, that tour doesn't start until like next year. So what he's going to do is he's going to help Tom DeLonge find UFOs, alien phenomena, and all of this. So the next time you see him, well, if he comes back, if he's not accepted by Blink-182 and becomes the fourth member, we'll just see.
Well, he might also be with the aliens soon, so we'll see. I don't know.
That is true.
I could totally see John Gentile getting abducted by aliens. Or just not abducted, just sort of adopted, right?
Adopted, yeah. I think he would totally, like, help the aliens legally figure out how to coexist with us.
And, like, abduction, like, implies that you were, like, kidnapped against your will, whereas I think John would willingly go. So I'm going to call it more of, like, an adoption situation.
Yeah.
What do you guys think aliens are like?
I don't know, because they look creepy in my eyes, but I would have to say there's a fascination with them, so maybe they're nice. I don't know. They like to poke at us, I guess, right? but don't yeah. we poke at things anyways?
That's like our it is true. Our like humans, like our vision of aliens, it always involves a lot of poking and prodding.
Exactly. But I would have to say, like, if you think of it, like, you know, humans, when we don't know what it is, we poke at it too. So I can't actually be mad at them for poking at us.
I think we should all just have like those sticks that, you know, you can extend it and then just like poke at random things, because that would be so fun.
I just think if there's aliens, like I don't know if they like, I think maybe we have too like narrow like a vision of what life is or could be. Like if there were aliens, I don't know that would we recognize them as life. Maybe they would be like a gas that has like consciousness, or maybe they would be like I don't know.
Like a bacteria.
Like a bacteria with consciousness or something, right? You know?
Yeah.
Like I don't know if they'd just be like us but green with bigger eyes. Right. I find that would be like very coincidental.
Well, I also yeah. think that they're probably like might be a better life form than us. They might have lived longer than this human race.
Well,
so
can I tell you the most depressing theory about aliens?
What is it?
It's that there are no aliens, and that the reason is that there are no aliens that could ever reach us is that by the time beings and societies have reached that level of intelligence and technology, they will inevitably destroy themselves before being able to, like, inevitably, like, destroy their own planet.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Like with Planet of the Apes, how, like, he comes back, and it's like, no, it's Earth, kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like any species that reaches that level of intelligence will inevitably destroy itself.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
No, I don't believe in this stuff. Nah. Sam, have you seen a UFO?
No, but I've seen flickering lights, like if Stranger Things, like that Demogorgon thing, existed.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Watch out for
So
the upside
I don't
down.
know. Exactly. Like that might be real, the upside down. I don't really believe aliens exist because I haven't met one yet or ever. But I would have to say if John succeeds in this whatever he's doing now, we might meet one on the podcast, maybe, right?
I
Maybe.
hope so.
Back.
I hope so. I have so many questions.
We'll
Like,
see.
so many questions.
Yeah, we'll find out one day, maybe when John returns.
Want him to come back and just hold, like, be holding a little, like, ET kind of guy with, like, the glowing finger and, like, the whole thing. That would just be cool. Maybe, like, an army of gremlins. Wait, were gremlins aliens? Or are they the toys? What were gremlins?
I should know
Just
this.
aren't they like little animal things?
But I, right, but they,
Maybe they
where did
are.
they come from? They had to be aliens, right? Where did they come from?
Well, wait, ET was an alien.
ET
ET
was an
was
alien.
alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Huh.
John's gonna explain it all to us.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you know about gremlins and what they are, please write in and solve this mystery. All right, so in honor of John, I'm going to play Aliens Exist by Blink-182, and we will be right back.
Hey, Mom, there's something in the back room. Hope it's not the creatures from above. You used to read me stories as if my dreams were boring. We all know conspiracies are dumb. What if people knew that these were real? I leave my closet door open all night. I know the CIA would say, "What you hear is all hearsay." Wish someone would tell me what was right.
Yes, sir.
the biggest news of the millennium right now is Blink-182 have reunited with original member Tom DeLonge. He left about 7 years ago, and he worked on like his other band, Angels and Airwaves, and he did a lot of stuff with Alien footage with his To the Stars program. So like, if you've seen that little TikTok video that they show all the time, like the fighter pilot saw, like he's the reason why basically it's out there. So really cool. Done a lot. So Matt Skiba of Alkaline Trio replaced him for those years. They put out two albums with Matt Skiba. And today, Tom released a statement on Instagram just saying, like, "Hi, Matt. I wanted to take a minute and say thank you for all that you've done to keep the band alive and thriving in my absence. I think you are enormously talented. I still love and listen to your band to this day. You have always been so kind to me, not only in the press, but also to others. I really noticed. Emotions between the three of us and Blink have also been have always been complicated, but Mark's cancer really put things in perspective. But to be honest, the band would not even be here today if it were not for your ability to jump in and save the day. So from my heart to yours, thank you for being a member of your band," and then did the horns emoji. So that was nice because I wasn't sure what was going on. It's like, did Matt Skiba just kind of wake up one day and it's like, oh shit, I'm out of the band, he's back, I'm gone now. But that's nice. So
if you're Matt Skiba in that position, you have to always know that that's like a possibility, right? Like if Tom DeLonge wants to come back, like you might be asked to step aside, right? I don't think that would be like too big a shock. Well,
that happens to like so many bands, like, you know. Like, even Foo Fighters, like, not to bring that band up, but, like, you know, Pat Smear left, and then now he's back in it, like, a million years later. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's, you know, Tom DeLonge's back, and, you know, I do think that if, you know, Matt wants to do something with that, why not have a second guitarist? I don't know. Putting it out there. Whatever. If we don't need a second guitarist because it's so pop punk, then fine. But I also agree with Hallie. I don't think that, like, you know, it's with, like, not out of the realm that, like, Matt was going to be out of it at some point.
One would assume that he's, like, on some level, a Blink fan himself and would, like, probably, like, on some level, would be, like, happy to see those guys playing together again. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll step aside for that. Get the whole band together? Like, fuck yeah.
Well, I also do think it was very telling with the video that they put out. You know, the We Are Coming video. Because, like, one, the video was so Blink-182. Like, yes, they're overgrown, like, kids at heart, right? We're coming. But, like, yeah, Matt was not in the video, and, you know, it's it was the three of them, and I do think that, like, you know, in order for this to happen without bad blood, especially if you're a big band like this, you would have at least had to have a conversation that, hey, Tom's coming back, and we are coming, and... So what do you want to do about this? You know?
I hope that's how they get on stage every night. They just all yell, "We're coming," over and over and over again, and then just show up. Because that would be hilarious. That video was so rough. It was so funny. I needed a good laugh.
It was great. Quintessential, like, Blink-182 to put something that... like that out in the world again. And I hope they don't get canceled for it. But, you know, we'll see. They're touring a million dates in 2023, so we'll see.
And
2024. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's like a 2-year thing, so, like, they have just killer openers. Like, they have Turnstile opening in North America, they have Rise Against opening in Australia, New Zealand. Wallows, who I don't know, open in Latin America, and the story so far opening in the UK and Europe. Sam, you said, are you going to Blink-182?
Yes, so I grabbed my tickets yesterday because I'm insane. When the announcement hit, I literally texted my husband and told him, I don't care how much these stupid tickets are, I'm buying them because I need to see Blink and I need to see Turnstile. So he literally replied to me, I had no idea that you had intentions on ever seeing Blink, which I was like, because we've never had this conversation. and I was like, huh, well, he has no objections. So yes, I'm going to the Brooklyn date. It sounds to me, I saw a post somewhere that most of the dates are already sold out or close to selling out, and the general admission tickets hasn't even gone on sale yet. So, yeah, they did add, I think, like 2 dates to the already extensive tour date schedule, just because of, I guess, sellout warning. Yeah, and so this is a thing. I do think that people my age, maybe a little older, are really stoked about this. I know I was, only because when Blink was putting out, like, you know, Enema and like Take Off Your Pants and Jacket and stuff like that, I was too young and broke to buy tickets to go see them. So, yeah, as an adult and with expendable cash, I guess this is what I spend my money on. I'm stoked.
It's going to be so cool. Well, yeah, I was looking at, like, dates or tickets for Toronto, and, like, it's pre-sale right now. And I swear one of the tickets is $1,756.59 on Ticketmaster.
And that sounds like resale. No, that sounds like resale. I grabbed pre-sale tickets and I saw anything ranging from for the New York dates, because I did. They are playing New York, 3 places in near New York, or in New York. They range from like 70 to 80 to about like 300-400. So 1,000 sounds excessive.
I'm sure, and like, bots got in.
That's so fun that you're going. That's so, so fun. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you
living
going?
My 15-year-old self? Reliving this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I don't know. Like, if someone had, like, I don't know. If someone had, like, a spare ticket, I would go. But I'm not, like, it's not important enough to me. Like, I missed, like, the initial rush of tickets. And, like, now I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to scramble or resale for them. But, like, but it'd be fun. It'd be so fun to see them. And the video especially, like, got me. It was like, oh, yeah, like, true to form, baby. Like, they're back. You know, like, it was so, the video is just, like, so, so stupid. And so they're exactly there. Like, proudly juvenile sense of humor, and I think it'll be fun.
And they're releasing their new song tomorrow, which is Friday, so it'll probably be out by the time you're listening to this, called Edging. So is it going to be one big dick joke, or are they going to sing about mortgages and paying tax?
I think it's probably going to be the first thing. Hopefully it's the first thing.
It's going to be about paying for their mortgages with blowjobs or something. I don't know.
I'll
find a way to tie it all together.
I hope so. I hope that's the name of their album. Oh, that'd be perfect. So one place that Blink-182 is playing on their extensive world tour is the When We Were Young Festival, the 2023 edition. They're headlining that along with Green Day. So they announced, or When We Were Young Festival 2022, those dates haven't happened yet. They're going to happen at the end of the month. But they've already announced 2023. And other bands on the bill include 30 Seconds to Mars, which I didn't know were still a band. I thought they were done, but they're right at the top. So there they are. The Offspring, Good Charlotte, 5 Seconds of Summer, All Time Low, who have multiple sexual abuse allegations against them, but whatever. Rise Against, Thrice, Something Corporate, who have reunited. MXPX, Sum 41, AJJ, Newfound Glory, Hot Mulligan, Beach Bunny, and Tiger's Jaw. So, what do you think of the lineup?
So, when they originally announced this for this year, I kind of thought it was a joke, a little bit, because I was like, yeah, how is this possible? but since they're doing it a second year, supposedly, and they actually, this lineup, I would have to say, in comparison to this year's lineup, I actually dig way more minus some, a lot of the bands, a lot of them. like, you know, I would totally see Green Day. I would totally see Blink. Duh, I bought tickets to them. Like, Offspring. I would even sit through Michelle Branch. How did that happen?
They're like trying to, I don't know. Yeah, how did that happen?
It's, yeah,
they can't think of like any like other, because it was, sorry, I feel like I'm interrupting you. But it's just in response to that, I think it's because this era of punk that they're mostly seem to be celebrating with this was so fucking anti-woman, and there were no fucking women in this scene. And so they're just, I don't know, like desperate. You know, she had that one hit that I think a lot of pop punk kids liked, and in that era. And that's how that happened, because there's like no one, there's like so few female acts that are more appropriate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I also think that they are definitely looking for nostalgia. That's the entire thing about this, you know, this event. And, you know, they literally are looking for anyone that might have a one-hit wonder. And yeah, when I was, like, you know, maybe in my teens or 20s. that's what this entire lineup looks like to me, and I'm okay with this lineup. Not this year's lineup, but you know, like, I do love the fact that, you know, they grabbed like Tiger's Jaw, like, you know, they're newer, not newer, but like, you know, not from my teenage years. like, you know,
and Beach Bunny, like, there's stuff,
yeah, yeah, and Joyce, yeah, Manor, yeah, Turnover, like, yeah, you know, Citizen, like, you know, those bands are included. Like, is Newfound Glory really that low on this list?
Like, yeah.
Like, I feel like that is, like, peak, like, when I was, like 15. What's going
have
on
they,
here?
Like, tour, but have they, like, I don't follow them, but have they, like, done tours more recently? Or are they, like, maybe just not as high up because it's not as big a deal that they're, like, maybe some of these other bands, it's just a bigger deal that they're playing at all. Does that ring true at all?
I don't know. They have been touring. They just, yeah, finished the tour, and I just saw them this year. Actually, mm-hmm, on my birthday, I saw them.
How was it?
Nice. Yeah. It was great, and my husband was miserable because he was watching the Mets. But anyways, yeah, I was having the best time, and that was fine. I don't know. Like, I also think, like, when looking at a flyer like this, it's just too many logos.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just my opinion.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know. It's funny, Sam, because when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, there are, what is it? There are individually bands on here that I would enjoy seeing, but I think I would enjoy seeing them more, you know, just like you're doing, like with Blank, just going to see a show that they're doing and headlining. I don't always feel like festivals are the best way to see a band. And then just this, the whole lineup, just something about it is, what is it? Just not appealing to me. What did you think looking over this lineup?
It was surprising, I guess, because I thought that there would be a lot more bands with like women and non-binary people in them, and like I thought there'd be a lot more kind of like, ooh, look at where the punk scene is now, and here's like some really cool acts from like back then, like L7's touring, like the Bricks Are Heavy tour, like they could be on that, they could have been on that, but they're not, like kind of stuff like that. And it was like, there's a lot of bands that play a lot of festivals, like The Offspring are playing pretty much every festival.
Yeah.
I would see The Offspring. I'm not saying like they're bad. I would see them. I love Green Day. I think they're an awesome live band. Like I'd love to see them. I'd love to see Blink-182. But like it does seem like a lot of the bands are there on the festival are the bands who are on pretty much every festival. So it didn't seem like they did a whole lot of digging, I guess, to get them. There are definitely bands that I would want to see, like I just said. And then there are bands that like I wouldn't want to support, I guess. Like I don't want to support 30 Seconds to Mars. I don't want to support All Time Low. So it's like if I buy a ticket, I'm supporting them, and that I don't really like that. But there are like again lots of really cool bands playing for sure. Like and they are getting like newer bands, Sam, like you were saying too, like Hot Mulligan's in there, and like that's really cool. But yeah, I was just kind of surprised with the whole thing. I was really surprised they're announcing it when the 2022 hasn't even happened yet. Like they don't know how it's gonna go, they don't know anything. This is run by Live Nation. The last Live Nation big concert was a Travis Scott thing, Astroworld, yeah, which ended badly. So yeah. It's like, do you really want to put all your eggs in one basket right now, kind of thing?
Well, see how it goes. So I'm looking at the lineup for this year, right?
Yes.
And I feel like there are more females in the lineup this year than next year.
I agree.
Because there's Avril, right? You know.
Yeah.
Queen Avril. you know, there's also like, you know, Paramore.
Mm-hmm. There's like they already got the bigger, like they already got the like the only female artists that were embraced by this.
Yeah.
Behind this corner.
There's the Kitty. There's Linda. Like there's a way more like female band or like fronts or like, you know, just females in general. This year's lineup and you know, there are ladies in bands. There's also people of color in punk bands that they could have grabbed. Like, you know, I think that's definitely a missed opportunity, unless they were definitely just going for nostalgia. Because remember, like around the time that, you know, the 90s and early, like, you know, early 2000s, like, you know, it was very one colored for a while. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
If you're putting together like a nostalgia festival, who would be your headliners?
I don't know. like are you talking about like personally? Like,
yeah, more personally than like a I think, like, with the corporate thing, I think they've nailed this, to be honest.
No, they definitely have nailed it with the corporate nostalgia, if you are my age. the youth. the 30-year-old, 40-year-old youth. I would have to say, like, Green Day and Blink. Like, they definitely nailed it with that. Like, you know, if you're looking for nostalgia for a specific time period, even Good Charlotte, like, that song, that one song was everywhere at one point, you know? this is definitely an era. Okay. Okay.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, hold on.
So we just keep going?
Yep, let's go.
All right. resuming. Yeah, so definitely from the corporate, like, state of mind, they got it. The poster even, too, like, it looks like a Monster energy drink thing, like, on steroids, like, with the green and all the logos, and it's, like, busy as hell and stuff. So, yeah, I think they're doing, they know who they're going for, I guess.
I also think they know what they're doing because apparently, you know, this year it's 3 days. So apparently they know what they're doing. So, yes, all of the logos, fine. You made it very easy for us to see this and be like, okay, all of these bands are playing. Cool. You know, and I don't have to click on a website to figure out, like, you know, who's the and more. Or come to punknews.org and look at the and more. No.
Yes.
it's all on Instagram for you guys. They're definitely looking for a specific subset of people that may or may not be my age.
Who is Michelle Branch?
What? Okay. So Michelle Branch. Was she a one-hit wonder? She might have been a one-hit wonder, but she was really, she had an acoustic guitar or a guitar and sang one song. That was everywhere for a while. I forgot what that song was called. I think it's actually called Everywhere or Breathe.
Apt.
Yeah. I do think that something happened to her recently because she is married to, or is, something happened where she is still with or not with, I'm not sure, with Patrick Carney, and Patrick Carney is in the Black Keys.
Oh, I think I know who she is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, another thing that's going on in Las Vegas in 2023 is the Punk Rock Museum is going to open. So, the Punk Rock Museum is kind of the brainchild of, like, Fat Mike of NOFX, and there's a whole board of people who are contributing stuff to it, like Fletcher Drag of Pennywise, Lisa Brown Lee, Brian Ray Turncoat, Pat Smear, Tony Hawk, they're investors. They're not necessarily curators, but they're investors in the museum. So the museum is in a 12,000 square foot space next to a strip club, and you have to mention it. Come on, it's in Vegas. Like, you go, you party, I guess.
Most things are next to your strip club in Vegas.
The strip clubs are next to strip clubs. I'm surprised this doesn't have a strip club in it, to be completely honest, especially because it's like Fat Mike has such a part in it, you know?
Well, if it might not be a strip club, but it might be, like, you know, a latex club, or, you know, BDSM club.
Come for the punk, stay for the chains.
Yeah.
So this will gather, like, all punk memorabilia from all kinds of, like, punk bands, like new bands, old bands, like, from all over the world. They made that very clear. So they have, like, Devo's Energy Dome helmets, Debbie Harry's Vulture shirt, and a collection of guitars and amps from bands like Rise Against, NOFX, and Pennywise that you can play in something called the Jam Room. So this was really cool because on their website, they're like, oh, people keep asking us, what if something breaks? And they're just like, we do what we do on tour, we fix it. I was like, that's kind of fun. That's an interesting take on it. So you can take a tour, which, like, runs daily. after it opens, led by people like Casey Royer of DI, Eric Melvin, Stacey D of Bad Cop, Angela Moore of Fishbone. They also have like a tattoo shop where you can get a tattoo from by Fletcher or Mike from T-Sol or Brian from Bouncing Souls, and a wedding chapel, and you can get married by Jack Grisham or El Jefe. So it's going to be like, there's going to be a lot going on. This is going to be something else. I think you can also have your wake there if you want to do that.
Oh, God.
Where's the wake at the Punk Rock Museum? I mean, I would. That would be fun.
Oh, God.
So.
This seems like a catch-all for everything.
Yeah, like, I'm just trying to think, like, what isn't there, right? Like, what do you have? Oh, some stuff. But, like, when you think Vegas, it's very much, like, everything's covered. So the grand opening is in January, and it will open to... Is it in January? Yeah, January 13th.
January. Mm-hmm.
When it opens. So then you can go and, like, see all this stuff and whatever. And you can buy different packages. So, like, the cheapest is the Krusty package. So you pay $100, you get tickets, you get laminates, you get 2 warm beers at the bar. And the most expensive package is called In the Shitter. And it's $25,000. So you get your name, like, on a plaque above a urinal or on a bathroom door, a drink named for you, rare flyers, a tattoo by Fletcher, and, like, all this kind of stuff. So are you guys excited about the Punk Rock Museum? Are you lining up to go? Are you buying the In the Shitter packages?
I'm too broke for In the Shitter. I don't think I'm going to purchase that package.
Not this year.
Not this year or any other year.
You're not going to get your name above the urinal, Sam.
It's, you know what? It's okay that people don't piss on my plaque anyways. You know? It's totally fine. I do think that this is a cool idea, a cool concept. There isn't... per se, like, you know, a punk rock museum. I do think that there is enough legends amongst the punk rock community to warrant a museum somewhere. I would have to say it's very fitting that it is in Vegas. You know, where all of the debauchery happens. And whenever I go to Vegas, I eat all the time. So
it's historically not very punk debauchery.
No, it's not punk debauchery, but
it's just
debauchery, you know. Yeah. And I guess that's where they found space for it. I don't know. Like, it would kind of make sense if it was in D.C., you know, maybe even New York, maybe even SoCal, like somewhere in SoCal, California, right?
Yeah.
One of those three locations. But, you know, I... do understand why they might put it in Vegas, because people do go to Vegas for debauchery or a weekend in general. I would have to say the next time I go to Vegas, hopefully not anytime soon, I would stop by this museum just to check it out. I do like looking at, you know, old worn used crap that that punks have. Well, me and my husband, we just went to Seattle, and we went to Mopop up there, and they had a Nirvana exhibit, and I'm assuming it's probably going to be something like that, where there's, you know, relics of band stuff, and that made me happy, and that made him happy, so I would think that this would also make me happy. I do like these packages, like the names of these packages. I do think they're very smart. Like, you know, the pay to come package, you know.
Blink-182's package right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I have high hopes for this thing. Hopefully don't let me down, you guys. I don't think I'll be having my renewal vows at this chapel. I also don't think I would be. I don't think I'm going to have my wake there either. I also don't think I'm going to get a tattoo here. Maybe I'll get a drink, a seltzer, maybe. So maybe I'll see the bar. I don't know. I do think it's a lot of things in one space. Not sure what that's about.
I mean, I guess it's just like it's Vegas and you have, you can get, you know, you can get space for cheap, especially they're saying this is even like a cheap neighborhood of Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess like, why not? Like, why not put like all that stuff in there if you can get the space? I think this is going to be legitimately fucking cool, you guys. Like, I think it's going to be really cool. I kind of wish it wasn't in Vegas, but whatever, you know, I just like the people that have been working on it at, like, you know, like I know Brian G from Nightbirds has been working on this. Like, they're just legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
Bands there's good people
of punk. Like, this is going to be like really meticulously curated. And like, I dork out when I go to the stupid like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I normally cry at least once while I'm there.
Yeah.
There's something about seeing like the lyrics of songs you love, like scribbled on like the original notebook, or I mean, just the fact that they have Blondie's fucking vulture shirt. I'm sorry, I'd go just for that. I'd go just for that. That is so iconic. I cannot believe they have that. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's gonna be really cool. I'm with you, Sam. I think any of the places that you named just sort of would have meant a little bit more to me if it was in a place that had a little bit more of a historical meaning for punk. But this is going to be rad. I'm not going to buy a package. I'm not flying out there especially for it. But I will undoubtedly find myself in Vegas at some point. And I think this would make me try to make my way to Vegas. Or incorporate that in some other trip, like to fold a Vegas branch of a trip into some other trip that I'm taking. It would make me do it sooner because I think it's going to be amazing. And
well,
longer trip for you. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, well, what I was going to say is you could spend the day here at the Punk Rock Museum and spend your nights at the strip club next door.
I do love a good strip club, and I'm not joking. I do love a good strip club. Well, although, yeah, it sort of depends.
Wait, what makes a good strip club?
I have to feel that the ladies are being well compensated for their time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to feel that they're like not being made to do anything they don't want to do. If they feel like well-paid, empowered women, then I'm perfectly happy to watch them take off their clothes.
Thanks. Yes.
Good stance.
This is a longer trip for you. Would you be like, what do you think? Would you be taking a trip to see this, or are you excited about it? Does it seem legit to you?
It seems really cool. Like, a lot of really awesome people have worked on it. Like, they have like so much just really, really cool shit. You can touch guitars and like play stuff that like people have played, which is really cool. I think the place itself is really fun and really, really neat. I'm not buying a package. I think it would be really funny to get married there.
It would be the punkest thing ever.
It would be great. Like, it'd be so fun. But yeah, like, exactly the distance. I've never been to Vegas. And it would have to be, like, something. Well, I've never even been on a plane, so like, it's gonna be like, if that was the first trip, that might be a bit much. But in the future, I definitely like absolutely love to do that. Like, it'd be cool to go to like punk rock bowling and do this, like kind of have two trips for the price of one, I guess, kind of idea. And get the most out of kind of the punk side of things. But yeah, I think it's really cool, and there's a lot of really neat stuff, and yeah, the strip club's a bonus. I've never been to a decent one, so that would be fun. too. So.
And I feel like it was a smart move on Fat Mike's part, right? Because he's sort of building Vegas as like his punk empire, right? You know, and like I think that I feel like gonna triple to quadruple the number of people that will attend Punk Rock Bowling because now there's sort of like a whole other thing that people are gonna want to do in Vegas, you know, while they're there.
Well, I think this could potentially be a very nice package deal. Like, you know, everyone go to the museum when you're not festing.
And by having it's a feed, the two things are going to feed into each other because anyone that was already planning on coming to Vegas for Punk Rock Bowling is like, why not? You know, like, why would you not go take a look at the museum?
Exactly.
And they probably have good food because I've been to the Raw Call once and it was really cool. And they had just like the best hot dog I've ever had. It was really good. So
music museums are required to have good like street food. Okay.
Yes. If they don't, they're unlegitimate. They're
not legit at all.
So you would want a New York City dirty dog.
Pretty much. The outside cookies are really good. So, like, I need a complete meal.
A hot dog and a cookie. Okay, got it.
A hot dog and a cookie.
That's what we're going to feed you now.
That's my fuel. That's what I run on.
Emmore wants the museum, like, ticket plus hot dog and cookie package.
Yes.
Forget the PBR. Like, no PBR for her.
No. No. Is it a hot dog? No. Is it a cookie? No. I'm not interested. I have standards. They must be met. So, now on to a band that could possibly be in the Punk Rock Museum one day, and probably will. Gladdy. They have announced they're releasing a new album. And it's called Don't Know What You're In Until You're Out. And it's coming out next month. So this will be their first album with a full band lineup. So their full band lineup on this album is Augusta Coach of Haitiana, Matt S., Pat Conabay of Spirit of the Beehive, Dennis Mishko, who's formerly of Tiger's Jaw, and Miles Ziskind of Witching. So they have also released their first single called Nothing. Which is great. It's really cool. It's punky. It has pop kind of vibes. It's really good. Augusta Coach's voice sounds great. Like, the band sounds awesome. I'm really excited for this. Everything I've heard up to this point is really great. And then hearing like the full band, it just like gives it that much more oomph. So I'm very excited about it. Are you guys Gladdy fans? What do you think of the song? Are you excited for the album?
I'm a huge Gladdy fan. I think Safe Sins is just honestly my favorite album that's come out in the last like bunch of years. That's not hyperbole. Hyperbole? that is like of all the stuff that I've bought and listened to over, I'd say like the last 3 years, that is like the one that is just in constant rotation. I am always happy to put it on. I'm always happy when it's playing. I literally probably listened to it the last time like 3 days ago. So yeah, I think Augusta is just like ridiculously talented and I'm super into this stuff. I mean, almost more than, and I liked Cayetana, but like almost more than that stuff. This is the band that like totally, totally speaks to me. I'm so psyched for this album. Sam, what do you feel? I feel like this isn't, I'm not sure how I think you are going to have responded to Gladys.
I like this. So I love Cayetana. It was really sad when they stopped existing for me. And I love Tiger's Jaw. So like, you know, like the mixture of all of this together, these people converging, I was like, what is this? listened to the one song, Nothing, that they put out, and I was like, I can dig this. I was like, this is great. I was like, I personally like more full band experiences, so this was like totally up my alley. I'm hopefully like more songs come out, and hopefully I like more of it, and maybe I'll buy the record whenever it comes out, whenever there's no pressing delays. that's a thing. Yeah, so I'm probably not gonna see them on tour though, because I think their tour cycle right now is a little too much for me, but I hopefully will see them in the future.
Hallie, are you gonna see them on tour with Jeff Rosenstock and Laura Stevenson?
Yeah, I would really. Those are literally all our friends and all people that have played Gethard's show. And so, yeah, this would be like definitely like a friend reunion to see that lineup. And I would really like to take my son, honestly. And I, in fact, if we weren't already busy, I would be taking my son to see Jeff play at PNC. What is it? I'm new to New Jersey. PNC
Art Center.
Yeah. Because I don't know, like I want, you know, it's like, especially with the pandemic, I just didn't have a lot of opportunities to take my kid to like rock shows. And I just like, it's like such an important thing to my husband and I. So this would be like, my son has seen Elvis Costello as an infant. I think this would be like a good contender for maybe like my son's first big punk show at an age where he would know what the fuck was going on, you know?
I just want to see your son on the side, like flailing around. Because I love seeing that. I just love seeing little kids going nuts to like, you know, either their mom or dad's on stage doing a thing, or like they're just having the greatest time.
No, he's not like much. He does like to dance to music, but like when it comes to like live performance, he actually just is stock still. And just like taking it all in, like in a very, very serious way. Like he just like locks in, like he is watching everything and listening to everything. It's like actually pretty awesome. So, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll do this tour with him.
That would be really cool. So Hallie, would you like to play a song?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are we playing Blink-182 songs?
Sure.
Okay, I'll let you. So I will either, I'm not going to pick any of the really super popular stuff from the middle of their, career. I'll either do something from the very beginning, like the first song of theirs that I ever liked, which is Eminem's, or I'll do the last song of theirs that I ever liked, which was something off that. Maybe I Miss You. It's not very punk, but I love that. I fucking love that song.
I Miss You.
So I'm like super into that. So wait, do I go early or do I go later?
What are your, what would John do?
What would John do? Oh, John would want M&M's.
Okay. Yeah. We will play M&M's. So this is M&M's by Blink-182.
Get away for a while. I just wanna be alone with your smile. Buy some candy and cigarettes, and we'll get in my car. We'll blast the stereo and we'll drive to Madagascar. Because when I'm with you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. I just wanna be your only one. I'm grasping at straws, thinking back to what I saw that night before when we were all alone. My love, life was getting so bland. There are only so many ways I can make love with my hand. Sometimes it makes me want to laugh. Sometimes I want to take my toaster in the bath, because when I'm with you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. I just want to be your only one. I'm grasping at straws, thinking back to what I saw that night on the floor when we were all alone.
So now we are going to Brooklyn-based cover band Cover Your Idols. They released No Sleep Till Brooklyn, which is a Beastie Boys cover. So Sam, tell us all about Cover Your Idols and the cover.
Yeah, so Cover Your Idols is like a whole bunch of people in Brooklyn playing cover songs. It's primarily Justin from Up For Nothing, his, I guess, side hustle. But essentially, he's been working with Swamp Cabbage Records to put out a covers compilation that will be released on Halloween this year. So it's going to have, covers by people like Higher Giants, Mikey Erg, Up For Nothing, Protagonist, like After Fall. There's a whole bunch of bands on this comp covering other bands. So I really, really love the fact that they covered No Sleep Till Brooklyn, because if you know any one of these guys in Cover Your Idols, they're the most Brooklyn people, South Brooklyn people, you know, and I live in South Brooklyn, so yeah. So this track, somehow they got Mark Morton. He's related to Lamb of God somehow on lead guitar. And it pretty much sounds exactly like Beastie Boys in a way. It's really, really weird, but awesome at the same time. They're playing a show tomorrow at Lucky 13 Saloon, which does have dancers at the bar with poles. So I'll be there tomorrow watching the bands and watching dancers while I get drinks.
So that, yeah, fun.
Yeah, it's sometimes there's just, you know, weird things that happens in Brooklyn, and it's kind of great.
Hallie, what did you think of the cover?
So, Sam, I feel like I'm missing something. So it's just like bands are doing covers of like any, it can just be anything they want to cover. There's like no like overarching theme or.
There's no theme whatsoever. It's mass chaos.
That's great.
And the first cover, yeah, I mean, it just kind of just sounds like they're trying to sound like the Beastie Boys. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to be a jerk, but like, maybe there's going to be some great covers on this. I hope so. But like this first cover, I was like, I'd rather, if you're going to do it that much like the original, I'd rather just listen to the original. Is that generally their vibe, Sam? Like, do they generally cover the songs that they covered like pretty true to the original, or do they sometimes put like more of their own spin on it?
So Cover Your Idols, I've seen them live one other time, and they're just punks in a cover band, and it's just fun, and they do try to cover things as close to the normal songs as possible. Yeah, like I think that they do try their hardest. I would have to say that this cover of No Sleep is probably the closest thing that they've done to being so close to to sounding like, you know, whoever they're covering. But they do like it's literally a fun project. It's just, you know, they're just doing it for shits and giggles. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're not doing it for money or any of that. A lot of the times, Cover Your Idols in South Brooklyn, if you go to a show, they will do donation events where you'll donate toys for the Christmas or, like, you know, money for dogs. Like, you know, like, so this is purely like, you know, a thing that they do, like, you know, because some people will be just be like, oh, they're just a cover band, but like, yeah, no, they do this for fun, and they do this because they're not, like, you know, trying to make money off of us.
People should do things for fun. Like, I don't have any problem with it. I'm just not excited about it, and maybe I should just withhold judgment until the whole thing comes up, because maybe there'll be other covers on this that I will like. But like, there was nothing about it that I was like, oh, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. Like, you
have
a song that sounds like the original. And then I don't know. Like, and then I don't really have any real concept of what the rest of the whole thing is going to sound like or be. But maybe it'll be cool.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, there's also Mikey Erg. Like, he has a very specific sound. So I don't imagine, like, whoever he covers, like, it's going to sound exactly like, you know, whatever he covers. Higher Giant, you know, Ernie's in that band, or Ernie's from Gray Area, and like, so he has a very specific voice, I would have to say. So I think, like, if he sings, then, you know, you're definitely going to hear the Ernie voice in whatever they cover. I don't think that there is any, well, right now there hasn't been anything that was said like, oh, we're only doing Beastie Boy covers. You know, so I do think it's like a free for all of whatever you want to do. So I do think it might be something like, oh, these are bands that we really like. Maybe that's what they're covering. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe more songs will come out. We have up until October 31st to see another track. If not, then the entire thing comes out.
Emma, am I being too harsh on this?
I thought it was good. It sounds very similar. Like, to the original, like, it does sound like they listened to it and were like, okay, this is where, like, this person comes in and this line goes and this does this, which I thought was kind of cool, because it's neat when you hear a cover and it's like completely like different from the original. Like, that's really fun, that's really cool. But it's really interesting when you listen to a cover and it's like pretty much the exact same too, because it's like, oh, that's neat. Right. I wasn't expecting it to land that way, I guess. You know? Sorry?
What is interesting about that? I'm just missing something. I just don't, I've never, but anyone that listens to the podcast regularly knows that this is like, this is just, that I've never thought it's interesting to just cover a song and just, it sounds exactly like the original. I literally can't wrap my head around, like, why you would do that. Maybe live, sure, live.
Yeah, great, like,
because live. Most people probably aren't going to get to see the Beastie Boys play this live. But, like, recorded, like, why is this interesting to anyone? I don't understand.
Like, definitely live. Like, I get it, because, like, sometimes, like, you know, I personally never thought I was going to see Blink, like, in the form that I wanted to see them when I was 15. So I'm getting that soon. But, like, you know, there might be cases where, you know, people pass away. And this case with Beastie Boys, you know, like, you know, you will never get that experience again. So I do get the live experience if you have a cover band that sings almost exactly the same, and you like close your eyes, you almost like travel back in time type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure why the recording, like, you know, the recording aspect of it is whatever, but it might also be that, you know, hey, if they do it this good here, maybe you should check their other stuff out, because a lot of comps, isn't that what we do with comps? Like, we get, like, we grow up with comps, right?
Yeah.
And then we don't know these bands. We'll listen to it and be like, oh, well, let me go check out their other stuff.
Right.
So maybe that's what's happening with this comp. Like, hey, like, you know, this band is actually really good. I don't know. Maybe I'll go and listen to their stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, like get people in with something familiar and then hit them with the true creative power. So another band from Brooklyn that has a lot of creative power are experimental noise punks Weeping Icon. So they are gearing up to release their new EP called Ocilli next month, and they've released a video for the first song off that called Pigs, Shit, and Trash. So the video has a bunch of different effects. Like, there's a lot of flashing in the video, which I really hated, but and lots of different, like, at one point someone looks in the mirror and then they see like a drawing of themselves and stuff. It's really, really cool. So there's lots going on, and there are flies absolutely everywhere. There's flies in the eggs, which is disgusting. There's flies on someone's head, which is a nod to the Mike Pence thing. There's
the fly makes a cameo.
Yes. Yes. There's like the corporate man meeting with life-size flies and all this. And here's a fun fact, just in time for October. Do you guys know what sign or what flies are a sign of? Not dead bodies, but what signs are flies are a sign of?
Dead bodies?
Well, that, but like in this case, no. Signs or flies are traditionally seen as a sign of demonic possession or demonic infestation. Fun fact. So another layer, add that to the video. But yeah, the song's really fun, and it's great, and it's noisy, and it's awesome. And at the end, too, somebody's reading the Capitalist Manifesto in the toilet, which I thought was really funny. So what do you guys think of Weeping Icon? What did you make of the video?
This video is weird.
Yeah,
it's so weird. I had to watch it a couple times just to figure out what the heck was going on, because I was like, wait, they're in bed, they're waking up, the kid has a voodoo doll. What is going on? I was like, he's eating fly eggs? I was like, ew. I was like, okay. Yeah, no, it's weird. I do think it's fitting for the music, though.
Yeah.
Also, the title of this, there was a pig in it. I'm going to assume that it just has a political statement or commentary over what the heck is happening here. I'm just going to think it's that. Not super a fan of the song, but I guess you guys could have figured that out by now. But yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, like, I'm with you, Sam. I wasn't sure that. Well, I liked the song. I found the whole thing very powerful, honestly. Like, very powerful. I'm not sure that this is like the kind of song that I'm gonna like return to again and again, but you know, the video is clearly a very scathing statement about capitalism and the capitalist nightmare that we currently find ourselves in this country. So, but I asked that, I thought it was like pretty effective and creepy. I didn't think that all of the images in it were necessarily like super new or stuff that I hadn't seen before, but I hadn't seen it put together in that way with this music behind it. And so, yeah, it's hard to watch something that's this kind of intentionally ugly, and the music also is like, you know, really also kind of intentionally ugly. It's like, it's hard to walk away from it being like, I loved it, it definitely, like, I got the point. I got it very powerfully. I got the point that was being made. I mean, and musically, this is like more, I think, the kind of thing that you would actually maybe, I don't know, you'll have to tell me, but like, it feels like the kind of thing you would more like be willing to listen to over and over again? Like, how did this hit you?
Yes. I really like the song. I think the song's cool. I like stuff that leans towards like noise and like more experimental stuff, because I think it's just, it's really fun. Like, some of it is like challenging to listen to, but like that's part of the like what makes it interesting, what makes it like worthwhile, because like you notice new things and there's just so many different ways to make music. And it's neat to, like, it's great to have, like, the traditional band, and then it's great to have people doing, like, completely whacked out stuff and be able to do that. I liked the video. I thought the video was fun. The flashing really bothered my eyes, though, so it was just like, why have you done this to me? Yeah, so I listened to the song more than I watched the video just because of that. But, I'm going to check out the EP. And Oh Silly are the parts of the bug with the eyes kind of thing. So
you know, I also thought the flies had something to do with, like, and this is the art fart in me, like Salvador Dali. Like, I was just like, when I was like watching it, I was like, why is this so Dali-esque with all of these stupid flies? Like, you know, yeah, and I, like, what, again, being confused about the video, like, I was like, I wouldn't put it past them to, like, use something as, like, weird, like, you know, reaching, as, like, you know, as, like, going towards, you know, a Dali symbol. Anyways, yeah, that's, I mean, just
that's interesting. That's cool.
That makes me wish more, like, knew more about Dali. Like, how does, because, like, because, and what you said with, like, flies, how did you word it? Like, demonic?
It's possession. And infestation.
Yeah, like that I could really see, like, almost like capitalism is a demon that has infected the people in this video. But Sam, what you said makes me wish that I knew a little bit more about how Dali, like, uses flies. Like, can you speak to that at all? Like, or you just know that there's a lot of flies in his work?
He uses a lot of flies. He painted them quite a bit, like, in a lot of pictures, paintings. sorry. like, sometimes he'll put, like, a fly or something on, like, a still life with, like, you know, fruits and stuff. It's also, like, you know, it's kind of significant in just the idea of decay, of, like, time and life and things like that, which made kind of in my brain made sense, because there was a lot going on and, you know, this all has to die at some point, right? just, you know, capitalism and greed and pigs looking like that doing a lot of stupid crap. Yeah, so, like, he used a lot of that in his paintings, because, you know, it sometimes, like, when you look at a Dali, you're like, oh, it's nice, but, like, you kind of have to, like, read the symbols in it in order to figure out the true meaning of what he actually painted.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry, I went on an art fart tangent.
No, I asked. No, it's good.
I literally asked.
It's interesting. So now to another video that has artistic elements to it. London-based punks Big Joni have released a video for their new song, Sainted. So the video, I thought it was shot, like, absolutely, like, beautifully. Everything looks really cool. So it shows, like, at first the band are just sitting there and they have flowers and they're wearing black. And then it shows them wearing white, walking into the woods, joining hands, kind of doing, like, a ritual type thing, and the, like, the picture will be playing, and then there'll be something playing, like, on top of it, and it's, like, a layered image, and both are moving, and, it's really cool. It's a really cool video. I really liked the video. The song, the song and the video fit together really well, I thought. Two, and the song's a little different than the previous singles they've released for their upcoming album, Back Home. So it's a little slower. It sounds more like synthy. It's more gothic. Like, it's really, really cool. I would recommend listening to the song because it is a different direction than like Confident Man or Happier Still, which are both more like leaning towards like indie mixed with pop punk a little bit. So yeah, what did you guys think of this video and the song?
I liked the other stuff, but I liked the stuff they'd released earlier better. This song didn't grab me.
Yeah.
As you were describing the video, I was like, maybe I need to watch this video again. I think maybe because the song didn't grab me, it wasn't serving as like an entryway for me into the video. But yeah, I just, for some reason, you know, I guess like you're, I like slow synthy stuff. But for some reason, this didn't speak to me as much as some of the other stuff that they've released. Sam, did you like this?
I did. I like synthy things these days. So the synthiness, is that even a word? Probably not. Whatever.
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. It totally worked for me. The video I thought was great. I originally thought it was a whole bunch of witches, like a coven, but I guess they're saints or something like that. So I do dig that, you know, dark forest, you know, candles, probably, you know, sitting in a triangle, things like that. Hopefully there's more coming. Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So hopefully it all sounds this way, because I would probably like this more than I like the other. I guess I'm impartial to the other stuff.
Yeah, so the next one we talked about is nostalgic pop punk earlier. Now we're talking about the new guard of pop punk with Chicago-based Action Adventure. So they're releasing a new album, and it's called Imposter Syndrome, which will be out next month on Pure Noise Records. And the band have released two songs, Levity, which has a video with it. And the video shows the band playing, and it's like really cool place. There's lots of lights, or they have a floor that lights up when they like step on it and move. It's really cool. 3818, which is just the audio. It has the album artwork with it. The album artwork's really cool. It's somebody taking off their face, and there's all sorts of like stuff going on. It's like kind of like a mishmash, kind of like the Insomniac cover inside their head, kind of like that.
Yep.
A bit. Not like that, but like in that vein. So yeah, they do pop punk. They have two vocalists. Like they sound really neat. They have that nostalgic pop punk kind of vibe, but still like this fresh kind of new thing that they're doing. So do you guys think Action Adventure are the future of pop punk? And what did you think of the tracks?
I think if I was 20 years old and I heard this, I would not be about it. And I think it was probably because I was probably a pompous idiot that thought that I knew what I liked. It's crazy that I'm like way older now and I've gravitated more towards like pop punk, because that's I've been listening to synth, pop punk, and hardcore lately. And it was funny because like I listened to the two tracks. I liked them both. And I was trying to figure out why I like this now, but I probably wouldn't like this when I was like, you know, 20. And I was like, I think this is like would categorize itself as like harder pop punk. Does that even make sense? Because I think when I was like 20, I love Newfound Glory. Like, you know, they're whiny. They're like that whiny pop punk. And, you know, that things about girls and stuff. And I like that. But I like this. I really do like this. And I do like that, you know, this is a band that is like one of their mantras is like, you know, getting more people of color in the pop punk scene. And clearly they're doing something here. So I back it right now. We'll see if more things drop and maybe I'll buy the record because, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm being choosy these days with my record collecting.
I liked this. I liked it. I wanted to not because I'm not wording that right. It was like it kept edging towards something that I was gonna hate, and then they would like pull it off like again and again. I wasn't a huge fan of the vocals. It was a little bit too like throwback to Newfound Glory or, you know, Ataris or whatever. You know, there was just like everyone was sort of trying to sound like one another. You know, in the what's that or early mid aughts of pop punk, but it really won me over. It's just the musicianship is undeniably just very, very, very good and very tight. I enjoyed like one of the vocalists more than the other, but it's sort of undeniably hooky. It's just really well executed. If there's any piece of you that even as a guilty pleasure likes pop punk like this, I really do think this just kind of grabs you. Did you, you sometimes react very violently against pop punk like this. Did you like this?
I have, again, I have pop punk that I really, really love, and I have pop punk that I absolutely loathe. There is no gray area for me.
Yeah, with so pop I'm so punk, curious to know where this is for you.
None at all. I really, really liked Levity. I loved that song. I thought it was really, really good. The other one I wasn't a big fan of. I didn't like, after saying there's no gray area, I didn't despise it, but I didn't really like it. It was just okay. But I really liked Levity, and I like what a lot of what this band has put out previously to it. I think they're doing really cool stuff. They released a song with Magnolia Park. I think it might have been last year, and I really liked that song. Like that was really cool that they did together. Magnolia Park are they're doing kind of the same thing, but I think they're leaning a bit more like to the pop-y side of it. But yeah, I think it's really cool. It's nice to listen to like bands that in like within pop punk who are actually doing something with the genre instead of just like, again, sort of regurgitating the same like I got dumped and I'm mad and I'm really sad and why did you do this to me kind of thing. Like that has its place and whatever, but like enough is enough at the same time. So it's nice to listen to something that has what I like about pop punk. So I think this band are great and I think they're gonna do lots of great things in their career.
Three thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Venture is Punk News Podcast certified.
Minus John.
Minus John. He might really like it. You never know.
I think the aliens might like it more.
Yeah, I think the aliens would have an absolute blast with that. So now on to something that I think John would really like is there's a new Kinks tribute album coming out. It's been announced. It's called Starstruck. And features covers by Wheatus, Riverboat Gamblers, The Plus Ones, The Fatal Flaw, Mikey Erg, The Operation MDs, and a lot more. So two songs have been released, The Fatal Flaw's version of Victoria, which I think is very good. I really like that one. And The Miserables cover of Lola. Other than the two released tracks, all of the other names on Bandcamp just have like the people who are covering them and then question marks beside it. There is one unreleased track that has a name, which is Publicity Stunt, but the rest of them are all kind of question marks, which I think is kind of fun. Like, ooh, the mystery. Yeah, what do you guys think of the Kinks? Do they deserve a tribute album? And what do you think of the tributes that have rolled in so far?
I mean, I think that Kinks definitely, I don't know. There's probably, haven't there already been Kinks cover record? Like, there been other Kinks tribute records? I don't know.
There have been.
I don't know, you guys. I love the Kinks. Aside from Mikey, I don't know. I don't know that I need to hear these bands covering it. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe, listen, again, I'll listen to it when it comes out. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But again, like, Victoria's a great song.
Awesome.
The cover didn't do anything to Victoria. I mean, just go listen to the Kinks play Victoria. It's the same tempo. It's the same. It's like, okay, great. You figured out how to play it. Oh, bully for you. You know what chords are in the song Victoria, and you fucking figured out what the lyrics are, and you said them. I mean, it's like, I can't.
Maybe you're just indifferent to covers right now.
I mean, no, I love some covers. Some covers are awesome, but, like, I don't know. Like,
you're just not feeling it. It's okay.
Do something.
Maybe this is just the October that you're not feeling covers albums.
But so, okay, so Sam, are you telling me you're feeling much more enthusiastic about this Kinks tribute album?
So I never got into Kinks. Okay, fine. Boo me if you want, but whatever. so this did not do anything for me except for the album art. I'm a fan of things that looks like the Archies, like the comics. So I was kind of into that. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm also a fan of bringing back that campaign of Mikey Erg being everywhere, because this is the second article that we've talked about that Mikey Erg is contributing to a compilation cover thing. So, yeah, I think Mikey Erg is back on being everywhere. I probably will not pick this up. I'm sorry to John, who potentially might love. The two songs that is out did nothing for me. And don't, kill me for that. It's just, I'm not a fan of the Kinks. So, yeah.
And there you have it on the Kinks tribute album. So, Sam, play a song and we'll be right back to wrap it up after.
So, I think Hallie, literally, we're on the same wavelength with this one song because you said it before. So, I am dedicating I Miss You by Blink-182 to John G, because we miss him on this episode. And, we hope he comes back to us because we're always thinking about him.
I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and all. strange darkness comes creeping on, so haunting every time. And as I stared, I counted the webs from all the spiders, catching things and eating their insides, like indecision to call you and hear your voice of treason. Will you come home and stop this pain tonight? Stop this pain tonight. Don't waste your time on me. You're already the voice inside my head. Don't waste your time on me. You're already the voice inside my head.
I Miss You by Blink-182. I was going to try to do the Tom voice, but I can't get it right now, which is frustrating. I was going to be like the whole thing. But anyway, that's fine. Anything that the listener should check out? or know about? Or words of wisdom?
Be good to each other. Don't be racist, and hopefully John G will be back, and you could be nice to him when he gets back.
My words of wisdom are that vegan marshmallows taste as good, if not better, than regular marshmallows, and so just, like, eat the vegan ones. Like, why, right? Like, why, you don't need the ones with the horse hooves in them. Just, like, get the fucking vegan marshmallows. They're delicious.
Is the price the same?
Oh, I don't know. Good question.
Do they melt?
Pay a buck more for the vegan ones, you guys. What happened?
M asked if they melt.
Yeah, can you melt them?
You can melt them.
Yes.
I see Rice Krispie treats on our future.
M, do you have words of wisdom? Anything we should check out?
Words of wisdom are, don't be a dick. And I interviewed Stop the Presses, so check that out and listen to some ska, folks. You gotta pick it up. Woo!
Drop the change.